Luke chapter 1, reading verses 1 to 38. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught, the birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless, because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favour and taken away my disgrace among the people." The birth of Jesus foretold. In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. Luke's Gospel starts with a personal declaration of the truthfulness of the story of Jesus. As Christians, we are called to develop a relationship with Jesus and to grow and develop our understanding of the message that he brings of love and salvation. To do that, we meet together in worship, share together in home groups or study, and reflect on our own during our personal devotions. We, like St. Luke, investigate and question, and in doing so find the certainty and truth of the gospel message Jesus came to reveal. The same message which Luke writes speaks to us today as much as it spoke to Theophilus, for whom it was written. Our passage moves on to the interaction of God in the lives of Elizabeth, Zechariah and Mary. I wonder what our reaction would be to the appearance of an angel. Each year as we read these words during the season of Advent, I am always struck by the humanity of these different reactions to the presence of an angel. Zechariah with his, "How can I be sure of this?" and Mary's gentle acceptance, "I am the Lord's servant," speak to me of our own experiences of encounters with God. Even when faced with an angel, we sometimes doubt the call that God has on our lives and the place he wants us to fill in his story of salvation. At other times, we just know that it is God, and like Mary, enfold our will into his and trust him to be by our side in whatever service he has called us to. As we travel through the Gospel of Luke this Lent, may we hear the voice of angels and hear God speak to us of our joyful place in the work of his kingdom. We listen to Singing the Faith number 161, "Speak, O Lord, as we come to you."
Teach us.
We come now to our prayers. Each day I will pick a sentence from the Bible passage which we can use for contemplative prayer. We think of the words in order to understand their context and meaning, feeling the meaning of the words with and in your heart. We pray using these words for ourselves or for others, with only a name and without explaining the reasons or predefining any answers. We listen for God's voice in the quiet of our prayers. I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Loving God, in this season of Lent, may I be aware of all the angels you send to me. Angels that speak in the words of friends and neighbours. Angels seen in the wonder of your creation, speaking to me of you. The visions of angels your holy words will give to me as I read them. All of these angels will draw me into your presence. I pray that you will help me recognise them and the message they have for me. Give me an enthusiastic heart to respond to them. Whether I understand or not, may I be willing to be your servant in whatever you call me to, trusting you to be present in every part of my life. Give me a voice which will speak of the love I find with you, a voice which will speak of your awesome presence in the world, a voice which will speak of your grace and mercy, which is available to all. As I read and study your word, may I once again kneel in your presence and give my life to you without holding anything back. Lord, I offer you this time of Lent. May you use it mightily in my life, the life of your church, and in the breadth of your creation. Amen.